Hello and welcome to the King Heroes Journey podcast. My name is Beth Martins. I'm here with one of my best friends in the whole entire world, Sherry Rothwell. So nice to have you here, Sherry. Yeah, so we'll wait a few minutes for people to jump on since we're live. Come and say hello in the chat if you're out there. I'd love to know that you're there. And I'm just going to get Rockfin on the go. We got a few people waiting over there. And it's all ready. Yeah, so those of you who would rather be on Rockfin, a little bit more of a private, uncensored platform. I'm going to share a link here in the chat. There she be. And we're all good to go. So, Sherry, how the heck are you?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Yeah.
I miss you. I haven't talked to you. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I said it's a cloudy day here, not nice and sunny like your day, but that's the one thing about being away from Manitoba that I miss is the sun for sure.
Yeah. So for those of you who don't know Sherry Rothwell, I'll tell you, we go back and we met actually when I was on the recovery from cancer, like 20 plus years ago already, just got introduced to you. I think I was teaching some yoga at the time and you and Jen came to my little home studio.
Yep. Yeah. I remember that very well. It was super like Indian style decor and super like Zen and just like spacious and open and no stuff.
Exactly. Just space to move around in and breathe and stuff. Yeah, exactly. And it wasn't until Sherry's and my children were growing. It was fun because Sherry was actually one of my doulas that helped me along the way. That's a whole story unto itself. Maybe we should do a podcast on sometime, just the whole birth world that you've been very involved with. And, with the help of Sherry and some other doulas, I was able to actually free birth my son, and she had just free birthed her daughter, and they became friends, and we developed an amazing, in a way, partnership, you know, friendship, but really in the context of, it was like a dream, actually, because it's not very common where people come together and they have such clear focus in terms of like, you had your projects and your business and I had my work that I had to do. And we both had these young kids. And then we started sharing responsibilities and, you know, helping each other out. So I would have the kids for one day, you would get to work, and then I'd have supper ready for you guys and vice versa when I would come over there. And it was totally a lifesaver. So that's,
yeah, that's how you get through, like, you know, motherhood, right? Is that getting in the kitchen with other women and just like, yeah, you're not alone and you're doing it together. And, you know, why have like one person be making one meal at one house and another at another, right? It's like, just get together, cook together. Even your weekly cooking, right? It's just like you can prepare so much food in advance in a way where you're connecting with someone else. You know, the many hands make for light work, right?
Exactly. Exactly. And it really depended on being like-minded because, you know, there wasn't a lot of people I would have trusted to feed Liam all day, for example, and say his name. But you know, so like the values, they're hard to come by, your rare soul. And I appreciate you very much for that. I just wanted to say hello to Missy Bear, who came and said hi in the chat. And Flat Smack Biblical is here. That's awesome. We got lots of flat earthers in the realm. 5 in the morning in the mountains. So there you go. Yeah. It's been a while. So I'll just let you know a little bit more about Sherry, who is a practitioner in the natural health world. And the thing that inspired this interview right now is something that I talked about actually quite a bit at length in my last stream. So if you didn't catch that last one, the solo rant, then you can learn some more background and detail. But I went through a showstopper of a health journey. And it was, you know, there were moments that I will say right now, you know, I'm on the other side. I feel very comfortable talking about it. I actually feel in some ways like I have to talk about it because I gained a lot of knowledge along the way, and I always inevitably, as soon as you get knowledge that was helpful, I just inevitably want to pass it on to other people. And I couldn't help thinking about all of those of us that, you know, personally, I never considered going to a doctor or the hospital or anything like that, even though there were some points where it was like, is this an emergency? Like, do I need to call this in? Because you know, that environment has become very like toxic to the next level. And, you know, like they, I have just so much experience how they railroad you into their things and they pressure you and they scare you and they force you and make it seem like you have to do. Now I've got a lot more ability to stand up for myself and question everything they say that you have to do, but I'm just not going near them because I know they don't really have anything of substance to offer me. And then you're left with, okay, well, I know I need some help on my own. It's just a big question mark. I don't know what I'm doing here, even though I actually see myself as a person with a fair amount of natural health knowledge. But I was in a circumstance I didn't even recognize or know how to deal with. And boy, I was on a wrong track until I talked to you. There was a few other people. Oh, Michelle is here from Michelle's Healing Home. She's going to be on a podcast with our friend Kyle Denton coming up from Tippecanoe. He was another one that I consulted and got some very good information from. And, you know, so we're likely in this, say, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, truth or freedom community, we're all going to be in that situation at some point where we need help. We can't turn to the mainstream here in Canada. And then, you know, if that's your first time thinking about natural health, that's going to be a little freaky. But, you know, when you start to reach out to practitioners and you don't necessarily know them and you can just like, all you can see is their website and you don't know their history and their track record and their actual lived experience and what they've seen, it can be really difficult. So I wanted to make sure people were introduced to you, Sherry, that, you know, I'm not saying other people don't have this, but the thing that for me really sticks out with you is that you have your eye on long-term healing, mm-hmm. right? So just by way of introduction, Sherry is a nutritionist. She has been educated. She's also a nutrition educator. She specializes in helping people to heal their gut, which is another brain, and also very much to help people with weight problems, because as you have said, Sherry, that's a sign of bad health, not just that the weight is, you know, something that you don't like, or you don't like how your clothes fit or all of those kind of things, but that it's a sign of a deeper thing. And so I have a lot of respect for your work and your experience, and then just watching how what the things that you taught me to do and the protocols to follow have actually worked, right? Mm-hmm. Went from a place where I didn't know if my gut was going to heal or not. I really didn't.
Yeah.
But yeah, here I am. So do you want to say a little bit more about yourself? Your background?
Yeah. So I kind of got on the train of working with gut health because my son had extreme eczema at the age of 4 that was so extreme that he looked like a burn victim from his knees to his hips, like his thighs, right? And at that point in time, I'd been in the natural health field for a long time, working in health food stores, and I had, you know, a certification in holistic nutrition. But I didn't actually want to do what needed to be done to heal him, which is a leaky gut diet, right? Because it just seemed so extreme at the time. And in those days, this is like, 20, I guess Isaiah was 4 and he's 22 now. So 20 years ago or so. I'm not great at math, so it's probably wrong. At that point in time, like we just didn't have the knowledge of like really how to nourish gut health. I think because people didn't really know that, or actually I don't think the situations were as extreme as they are now with people's gut health, right? Like, so back then it was just like, you know, take some probiotics if you got some gut issues, right? So I really learned about food sensitivities with him because I avoided doing the leaky gut diet for an entire year. I went into complete victim mode. I was like, oh my God, I'm doing everything right. Now my child has this health problem. Like, how could it be, right? I've been eating this natural whole foods. At the time it was a plant-based diet, which actually is one of the things that caused him to have eczema. If we would, you know, we could do another talk about the impact of a plant-based diet knowing that from having been in that world for so long, and then seeing the effects and going through pregnancy on two vegetarian pregnancies. Sometimes you learn what's not the best thing by experiencing it in your own body, right? And in your own kids. So anyways, I didn't want to do that diet. I tried everything else. I saw like everyone else, like trying to avoid doing this special diet. Because as you know, it's very difficult to stop eating certain foods for a certain amount of time. Like it's just, it goes against all of our instincts and our society. And back then, like the idea of fasting was like, you're going to kill yourself if you don't eat for a day, right? In this case, I wasn't planning to put him on fasting at all. It was just a very specific type of diet. And it just seemed like, you know, because it wasn't like your standard traditional three meals a day type of like meals on your plate that were like cooked and like bread and all this kind of stuff. So I thought, oh my God, my child's going to starve, right? And so, but by the time we got to the end of that year and I tried everything and nothing did anything except for, you know, maybe take the edge off a little bit of the intensive inflammation, I finally just gave in. And that is how I learned. And why I gave in was because it got to the point that basically every food was triggering inflammation. I was like, this kid's going to have, like, if I keep eliminating foods, he's going to have four foods left to eat, right? And I was like, this is ridiculous. And then they were like, oh, we think you should get him tested for like celiac and stuff. And then I was like, I was losing my mind at that point, because back then there wasn't even alternatives for people who didn't eat gluten, right? It was like, oh my God, my child is really going to starve and he's going to be like diagnosed with this disease forever. And like, yeah, just, you know, and I was like, okay, screw it. I'm going to do this diet. So we did the leaky gut diet. So, within two and a half weeks, he was significantly responding. Like if you had looked at him in week one, you'd have thought this wasn't doing anything, but we just kept going. By 2.5 weeks, he was responding and I was starting to see it clearing. By at the end of the third week, he was 70% free of that eczema. And then we had to go on a road trip and we were moving literally to BC. And I was like, how am I going to feed a kid a special diet on a road trip, right? And I was like, I can't. So we literally we were eating as healthy as we could out of a, like, you know, whatever, what are those, you know what I'm talking about? Like the cooler. Yes. But we did stop at a couple of greasy spoons and he had like some French fries and ketchup, which like tomatoes were a huge bad thing for eczema. And despite that, because so much healing had already started in his gut that he continued to heal through all that. Like it didn't stop his healing. It just like started, you know, like once you get that vital healing capacity going, like it just keeps doing its job. And especially in a child who has like so much life force energy. So by the end of the four weeks, we had this completely clear skin, and didn't have to avoid any foods anymore. Right. So in our society, one of the things people do is they find out they have a food sensitivity and then they just live with that and they just avoid that food forever instead of addressing the root cause. Like if you're healthy, you should be able to eat anything in moderation without having to pay for it later. And people don't usually know that. So they just don't actually heal their gut. They just continue on with whatever they're doing, avoiding that one food. But while that's happening, whatever was going on underneath, the invisible things that were going on inside that person's body are continuing to go on. They're likely going deeper. And then we have new food sensitivities and new health problems, you know, start to arise. But it's all because, you know, the gluten, the dairy, the whatever, it was never the problem in the first place. It was just a trigger of the symptoms, but not the root cause of the problem in the first place. So that was my real teaching experience. Like that's how I learned. Cause there's a lot of detective work that you have to do. Cause it wasn't perfectly straightforward, right? I was like, oh, why isn't this working in like week, you know, 1.5 till 2, right? So you have to, like, each person is an individual and how their body's reacting is different. So what helped me get that like sudden results right after, like, it was like not seeming to work at first was I took out tropical fruits. So, you know, that's not going to be the answer for each person, but it was just what needed to happen at that time. You know, I reasoned tropical fruits have a heating quality to them. So let's take them out. And then boom, we just started progressing from there. But yeah, it's just like so important to recognize that the symptoms that you have are a sign that your body is trying to tell you something is wrong and it needs to be addressed at the root cause, not suppressed with a drug or avoided.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, because the tendency is to use the natural medicine like we use allopathic medicine, right? Yeah. Just to look for the herb or look for the, you know, like you said, eliminate the food that would cause the symptom and then you think you're done, but you've got that whole underlying thing going on.
Yeah.
One of the really big distinctions that I had to make fresh and new is mm-hmm. the difference between, now I'll just call it there. I don't know if there's any more technical terms in your world, but a cleanse versus a detox, because I'm very familiar with detox and I've been in a detox lifestyle for the better part of the 20 years since surviving cancer. And so, you know, when things, because I was getting signs at first, I didn't even recognize them. I thought my body was literally just detoxing. And that's true. But what is the cause of that, right? I didn't realize. And so what do? I go harder on all of the detox things, more fresh food, more green juice, more, you know, high intensity supplements that are, like you say, when you're in a healthy place, it's fine. But in this case, it was all adding insult to the injury that was already there.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Because it's not addressing it at the root cause, right? Like there's a source of inflammation and basically the thing that's going to affect your gut the most is the food that you're eating. And right. What's so amazing about your gut is that it, like, in a healthy person who has a perfect gut health, they have a new gut lining every single 3 days. That's how important our digestion and absorption is, that the body is created in such a way that it regenerates so quickly. So the beauty of this is that even though you have to take extreme measures at times in extreme situations, this part of the body restores and revitalizes very quickly. So that is why I recommended that you do that 3-day water fast, not because I wanted you to get cleaner in any, you know, shape. Like, cause we had already tried like some easy to digest foods and your body was not completely responding to that. So it was like, well, what else is left? Right. Let's let your gut have nothing to do for 3 days.
Right. And then just to make that distinction between, you know, say normal people, now I always think about these normal people, but like, you know, the fresh food is the answer. The you know, all of those kind of supplements or whatever tinctures and herbs and everything that, you know, cause elimination, for example, that would be appropriate in that case. But where like you taught me, where there's inflammation, then that's exacerbating. So even, you know, never mind all the fresh food, I was literally gorging in my garden every morning. And when I wouldn't even normally eat, because I intermittent fast and leave my stomach empty for hours and hours, but because of the season, I'm just doing this. And you know, so that was a very big shift in paradigms for me to go like, oh. And then the colon, you know, the gut, it's so quiet in some ways that by the time you have pain, I believe it's true, you have a serious situation, right? Because it doesn't have a lot of nerve endings going on.
Yeah, well, in that part, people typically don't really feel it. I mean, when we have a stomach ache, we feel that. It's pretty obvious. We get bloating and, you know, gas and all that kind of stuff. And it usually feels like pain in the stomach. But with the, you know, small intestine and the colon and stuff, it's, you know, you do feel that stretching of the, you know, it's not that you can't feel pain there. Like, I mean, we can feel pain anywhere, really. Mm-hmm. But I think every single person's, you know, experience of it is just completely different. And in your case, we were trying to give your body a break from digestion, whereas in other people's scenarios, they might need to be like, have something stimulated, right? Versus, you know, yours was, we need to just take the weight off your system.
Yeah, exactly. And then, so just pointing to that, so that it's not one size fits all when you look at like, you know, is this a good thing to take? Is this a good food to eat? Is this, those questions really don't apply. It depends on where you're at and what you're dealing with.
Yeah, exactly. Totally unique situation. And like one of the things that we talked about quite a bit, which I think is important for people to understand, is when like I had a criteria in my mind for how long fasting would be okay for you. And it's basically like, this is, to me, this is like a good rule of thumb for people when you're working on yourself so that you know when too much is too much. If your body after day three, like when you go into day four, your hunger should be gone and you should feel super energetic and you should feel like your brain is so clear and you have so much energy and just want to take on the world. To me, then that is a situation in which you have the vitality in, that you could keep fasting if you wanted to. Mm-hmm. I find that because I follow a lot of different like other practitioners and different people who like specialize in these topics. And I find that it's a lot of the time, it just really works well for men, but not so well for women for very long. And that's one of those are the things that I look for. So in your scenario, by day four, I could hear her voice through Messenger. We were audio talking back and forth. And I could tell by the tone of her voice that she definitely wasn't feeling vital. Didn't have extra energy. Right. And also the other thing you told me was that you could not sleep that night on that last night. And that is a sign of high cortisol. And that's a sign that actually her body is not okay with going any further. Like, yes, her gut did need a break, but her adrenals don't need to be sacrificed, right, for that. So those are just like really amazing distinctions to know. That's why I'm teaching them so that other people can remember this, remember your story. It's like, oh, on that, I'm fasting. Now I can't sleep. Okay. Now I'm depleting my adrenal glands. And guess what? You need to heal. You need to be in a state of relaxation to heal. So if the fast or the cleanse or the diet or whatever it is, the exercise even, whatever you're doing, if it triggers excess cortisol and you go into like high beta brainwave stress states where you're like in protection mode and you're not in relaxation mode, you're in fight or flight or freeze, you can't heal. Your body, if you're in freeze mode, you're not healing. That's why you're also not releasing weight if you're chronically stressed, right? Or if you are in fight or flight, again, if you are running from a tiger, well, you don't need to heal. You just need to escape. And when we're living in those states, your nervous system needs to be relaxed to heal. Kind of end of story. That's why animals go lie down and sleep until they're healed. They don't spend a lot of time eating and going to work and, you know what I mean, all those things that humans do. They just are, I'm sick, I lie down. I just wait. I might drink enough water, but that's it. And unfortunately in our society, that's difficult to stop. So most people, their healing process is slow, not because nature didn't design you to be healthy, but we live in a society that doesn't allow us to do what nature designed us to do when we're sick so that we can recover, unfortunately.
Yeah, there's a lot in there. When your gut's off, then you think of the gut as the problem, which was not the case. And then when I really started to tune in with the adrenals and put some pieces together and look at the last 3.5 years, the level of activity, I mean, barely a day goes by that somebody tells me like, oh, I don't know how you do it, Beth. What, like, how do you get everything done? And for me, it is a very natural, just to keep a high pace. It's dynamic. I absolutely love and adore my work. I love it. I love my clients. I love what I do. I love these interviews. And so it's pretty hard. And I actually received a really great astrology reading that reflected it's time to let go of good things, right? Because usually the advice is, you know, decide what's really nourishing and what's not, let go of what's not. In my case, it's let go of things that are nourishing. And I don't know that anything would have stopped me, you know, so that day came when you just said like, your body's not going to heal if you don't relax. And that's when I began to like, okay, let's cancel a few things and this can be put off and let's get some priorities here. And just like an animal, lay there, just breathe, only breathe. And, you know, fasting, it is the first time that I did 6 days on the water fast. I had highs that were phenomenal. Mm. Like I felt like I could have run a marathon. I was sharp as a tack. I wasn't, you know, there, I wasn't compromised. I gave a talk at a festival. I worked. Yeah. Everything came through lucid. In a very satisfying way. And then I would also be like, whoa, it's time to lay down now. Just like these profound kind of ups and downs. And the amount of emotional, spiritual work that presents itself is also off the charts, right? Because of course, everything in the physical world, as you know, has its roots in that part. So it gave me time and space to process what the last 3.5 years has been like, the traumas that I've been through, the things that I thought I let go, but I was just kind of skating over, letting a little bit go, but, you know, holding on to resentments was a big part of it, right? For all the attacks that we've received still to this day, still happening.
Yeah.
But so it was just a beautiful, you know, it's like, it's even hard to believe you need somebody to give you this advice because I know this stuff, but once you're in there it's just a whole different thing. So the value of someone holding my hand was incredible. Like, honestly, I cannot thank you enough. I wanted to circle back a little bit. Well, since we brought up the adrenals, do you want to just talk about what do you know to be, in addition to all of that rest and space, and, you know, are there other things that you can be doing for your adrenals when it comes to food and even supplements?
Yeah. So your adrenals require protein and cholesterol and saturated fat.
Amen.
So, you got to eat your animal-based foods. You know, your body, it can make cholesterol out of, you know, vegetable, like you basically eat vegetables and then your body will make cholesterol because you need it so badly. But when you don't eat foods that have cholesterol in them, then your body, you have to use from your own stores in your own body of the other food you ate to build this molecule. So there's no point in really avoiding cholesterol, even though our society is very obsessed with being afraid of it. So one of the foods that I had Beth consuming is raw egg yolks. When we started to see those symptoms of needing adrenal support. And then your protein. So I gave her a link to buy something called hydrolyzed protein powder, which is basically a whey protein powder that has all of your essential amino acids in it, but they are broken down already in a process called hydrolyzation. It's using a water molecule to split the protein molecules down into smaller proteins, into amino acids. So because when you're in a really intensively inflamed intestinal state and you're not absorbing nutrition well, it's difficult to digest proteins and carbohydrates and fats. Everything is difficult, right? So you don't want to be consuming like protein in its forms that, like, you know, meat. I mean, you can have some, like, it just, again, it just depends on the person. In Beth's scenario, we had it to some degree. But you want to have amino acids, because if you can consume amino acids, then your body will just assemble them into the proteins you need. But if you consume the food as a protein and then you have to break it down into amino acids, that's too much work when your intestine is inflamed. So I recommended hydrolyzed protein powder. So it's just basically like you put it in water and you can just drink it. Like she's just drinking it 3 times a day. And it doesn't really have much of a flavor or anything like that. You could bake it into a smoothie if you wanted to, but in this case, I don't recommend that because most of the things that you throw in to make a smoothie are going to be difficult to digest.
Quick aside on that. I go into cognitive dissonance every time I make a smoothie because I can't put anything in there.
Yeah, exactly. it dissolves in the water basically, right? It's just like tasteless.
Yeah. Very inoffensive. I want to say that.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So now she's able to like start, because protein is a building blocks of every single thing in your body. So you need to have those amino acids to rebuild. So if you're going to heal, well, you need the raw materials to heal. Right.
Yeah.
So of course, so that's the best thing when you're in a inflammatory state and you're healing it. It's the closest thing you can have to having intravenous nutrition, because it's just nutrition. It's not like, or it's, sorry, it's just like there's proteins, carbohydrates, and fats, and they get broken down into smaller things through your digestion.
Yeah.
This is all pre-digested.
Yeah, exactly. I want to just throw in there that after maybe 3-4 days of using it, I actually felt like not a gain of weight, but a solidity in my body, because it was actually akin to what I'd been through in chemotherapy, where there was a feeling of coming apart, like my body wasn't adhering to itself.
Yeah.
Right. And that feeling came back, and it made me, you know, okay to jump on the trampoline for 5 or 10 minutes, or, you know, like just the smallest amounts of exercise started to become possible again.
Yes. Yes. And many people who have muscle pain in their body, it's due to not having enough protein. Like your tolerance for exercise and everything will just be really low, and you will have muscle pain, like chronic neck, back, whatever. You'll blame it on, you know, your repetitive movements at your job, but you probably would be able to tolerate that if you got your protein optimized. Sorry, go ahead. I was going to say saturated fat, of course.
And saturated fat, of course. Yeah, Sherry's a very big proponent of fat, and that makes me happy. And yeah, you should see her desserts and the amount of fat that I ended up eating. I eat more fat than anybody I know, and I'm always the skinniest person I know.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, so we're so sideways.
No.
Yeah, no, I grew up with a family that they unfortunately cut out butter. My mom would sneak butter, and she would sneak avocado, and, you know, because she knew she needed those things. I know, terrible. And then we're on all of these hydrolyzed, you know, plant crap, fat.
Hydrogenated,
pardon me. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I want to make sure people know, because Sherry has a special product. I bought it, but I have not tried it yet just because of where I've been at. But she has a pancake mix, being a big fan of protein, the amino, and it's the same principle, is it not, that the amino acids are in there?
Yeah. So it is a grass-fed whey protein powder that is unflavored, unsweetened. It's a very simple, clean recipe where there's psyllium in it, which gives it the binding power so that it actually cooks up like it's like very much like a wheat product, but there is no wheat in it, and it's low carb, and it's got your essential amino acids because it's from an animal product. It's grass-fed whey, which is whey is something that is produced as a byproduct when in the grass-fed cheese industry. So it's using a part of the animal that would otherwise go to waste. So it's sustainable in that sense as well. And it can make not just sweet pancakes like your traditional ones, but you can make savory ones as well. You can add cheese and vegetables and all sorts of different things. It's like, you know, it's high protein, and it's also like a alternative to a gluten-free kind of baking mix. But it's not exactly the same as what we were talking about with the hydrolyzed, because it's not a hydrolyzed. So it wouldn't, that's why I wouldn't recommend it to you right now. And also because psyllium, it's a fiber, right? And so when you're healing the gut, you want to avoid fibers, which is like, you know, totally backwards to what our society is like. Oh, you got anything wrong with your elimination? You need more fiber, right? And more vegetables and more water and all this kind of thing. And there's a couple different types of constipation, and one of them does not respond to any of that. It gets worse when you had more fibers and more, you know, everything. So if you're already, you know, fine, you don't have inflammation, then it's a really good healthy food for you. But it's not something I'd recommend while you're actively trying to heal inflammation in the body and at that really deep gut level.
Exactly. Yeah. And I was just going to share, this is a link direct to Sherry's Roth, Sherry's, I'm not sure if, yeah, this is your personal page. Yeah. And she's always sharing recipe. Oh, sorry. What?
It is public. It's fine.
It's public. Yeah. And yeah, so then you can go and see the recipes and all the different ways that she uses this. And then here, I just saw your website for selling the protein powder. And I think, do you still have a, a thing where if people buy six, then you throw in the shipping?
Yeah, free shipping anywhere in Canada on six bags.
And it keeps really well. This is one of the things that we were talking about, you know, with everybody prepping for the financial collapse PSYOP. And I have not had to go shopping forever because of all of the reasons we're talking. And it'll keep very well and be a high protein thing to turn to. And that's, you know, and that's the thing that happens with stress, right? Like we need more and more protein, don't we?
Yeah. And speaking of nutrients for the adrenals, because the stress depletes your adrenals, right? So in addition, like you were asking about supplements, ideally some vitamin C would be really good. Magnesium and zinc as well would be really helpful for somebody with taxed adrenals. You just want to like, the right amount of salt too, like natural salt that is unrefined. So your Celtic or Himalayan salt, everything to taste, that's also really supportive of the adrenals. So that's providing the raw materials, right? Like you have these glands, they need certain nutrients for them to be in optimal state of health. So you have to feed the glands what they need to be healthy. And then when you do that, then they're healthy, right? And then you can actually tolerate stress a lot better when you have the nutritional resources to keep that organ healthy. But if it's deficient in nutrition and you have stress on top of it, then that's a recipe for adrenal burnout, basically, right? So you have to have the right lifestyle that's supportive of like not having chronic stress, right? Like the chronic stress is what really is, because acute stress is comes and goes. We're made for that, right? But it's that chronic stress that's really depleting. And then being in, you know, the standard North American diet is just not conducive to nourishing these organs. They're, you know, everyone's trying to eat plant-based and then they're on top of it eating like processed foods. And it's just missing that building nutrition, right? Like, yes, we do need cleansing, but we also need building. And it just depends on where your system is at. That's how, you know, you have to decide which direction you're going to go. If you don't know if you need to build or cleanse, then you kind of, you know, throwing, you know, the spaghetti at the wall, kind of, you know, that's how that saying goes, right? So knowing those different distinctions can really help. And how this is connected back to adrenals and the inflammation in the gut is that basically when you are like your stress is chronically elevated and your cortisol is just constantly being produced because you're constantly stressed, eventually what happens is it's like the organ just gets like, I can't do this anymore. I can't produce that much cortisol. Right. And then it starts underproducing cortisol. And that's when you get super fatigued, but also inflammation goes crazy in the body because actually that hormone is meant to keep inflammation balanced in your body. So you can literally be inflamed and have inflammation from being deficient in nutrition. That organ being deficient and being overworked will cause inflammation in your body, even if you're eating the perfect healthy diet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right. Because I do consider, I don't have the perfect diet, but I have a very good diet, right? And you know, locally sourced and high protein and lots of animal products and, you know, raw thing I won't say because it's illegal and, you know, really fresh vegetables and almost none of them come from the store anymore. It's always from a farm or from my garden or from the farm I work at and everything like that. And so it was, you know, it was like, huh, what's going on? And so this was such a big answer to the mystery. Yeah. And exactly, like, of course, you know, again, it was just like, I can't believe I myself needed someone else to tell me this. But there's a lot of questions coming in the chat. Would you be open to answering some of those?
Are there click on comments to see them?
Yeah, and I can put them up here as well. So hello, Jose, nice to see you here. And he's talking about nuts. And it's interesting because like someone else was saying that after, I think Missy Bear, after a fast and she was craving protein, the protein cravings, like the food porn in my head, oh my gosh, especially when I go to bed, I'm thinking about the steak and that it's always meat and it's always the, you know, the burger or something, you know, like that. And every time I go by a cupboard that I know has a lot of nuts in it, I fantasize about those nuts. So what can you tell us about this? He's asking Yeah, and that's part of a varied, it does help reduce bad cholesterol and raise good. Is there such thing, by the way, bad cholesterol and good cholesterol?
Basically, the physiology on that is basically the cholesterol that is going from the liver to the heart is considered bad. And the cholesterol that's leaving and going back to the liver is considered good, with the idea of, well, we don't want cholesterol building up in the arteries. So that makes one bad and one good. But what people don't understand is that cholesterol is a healing agent. That is why your body will actually make more of it when you're in a healing like mode. Like if you have to recover from something, even if you were on the standard North American diet and you went to a vegan diet and you stopped eating all animal products and no cholesterol, and took out the butter and all that kind of stuff, your cholesterol would go up temporarily because it is a healing agent in the body. So it is there to heal you. So in the arteries, when the arteries are damaged because of inflammation, that inflammation is coming from excess carbohydrates, refined vegetable oils, sugar. And then when people are eating a lot of carbohydrates and sugar, their insulin goes high. And insulin itself is inflammatory and caustic to the tissues. And so if your heart is your area of hereditary weakness, and that's where the inflammation lands in your body, it starts tearing at your tissues in your arteries. And as a result, because your body is intelligent, because cholesterol is a healing agent and it's trying to stop the tissues from breaking apart, like acting like a Band-Aid. So just like when you see a car accident and there's an ambulance there, and every time you see a car accident, you happen to see the ambulance is there. The ambulance is not the cause of the car accident. It's the same thing with cholesterol. So if you have high lipids in your blood that is like pathological, this is the thing that people, you know, get worried about. If that is the case, it's the kind of fats that you're eating and that your liver is not properly filtering your blood. It's too stagnant. It's just not keeping up on that. So if anything, it's you want to get all the inflammatory foods and things out of your diet and support your liver to optimally function so that it can keep your blood fat levels normal.
Fantastic answer. I love it. I love it. Yeah. And do avocados have any natural cholesterol in them or support your body to create cholesterol? They don't?
They don't have any cholesterol in them, but your body just takes raw nutrients and makes up cholesterol. So even if you you can eat avocados, it's not going to make a difference. You could eat eggs and it wouldn't make it more or less cholesterol. Like how much is going to be produced and in your body is depending on how much your body needs. And if you're in, and so all of these healing diets, every single one of them, because vegan it can be the right diet for some people for a certain amount of time at a certain time in their life. Yes. Right. So it doesn't matter what healing diet you're on. You will, when you go into healing mode, your cholesterol will be elevated. So, but it's just temporary.
Right. And that's one of the problems with the medical science. Like say in my birth, I originally had midwives that were going to attend that were part of the system. And part of their protocol is constant checking and measuring and checking and monitoring. And I just said, you know what, in advance, I'll take no checking. Thank you very much. You can check me off the no checking list. And they actually fired me from a home birth because of that, because they don't literally know how to operate. But I knew instinctively that all this checking was going to create unnatural stress. Yeah. And that say they did in one moment, because it's a photograph, they're taking a photograph. They're not looking at the actual moving dynamic of what's going on. And they're going to go, oh, peak, something wrong, you know, emergency. And I didn't want any false emergencies imposed on me. And I felt like I could have enough communication with my body and my baby that I would have, you know, if I would know something's wrong, and I was willing to go to the hospital if I needed to, had my bag all packed, you know. So that's why, like the checking, I just feel like that's all the testing and the checking. I've been unbelievable amount of testing I've been through. And then on the other side of the testing, found out how fraudulent the test itself is in one way or another.
Yeah. Yeah, it's it can throw in you know, fear in the process, and sometimes when you are you know making shifts in the body, things can look worse before they get better, right? Yes. And that's, you know, if you test at the point where things are just getting like stirred up, right? It's like things get stirred up, and you can get more symptoms of something, as even though you're doing the thing that you need to be doing, it can feel like it's not the right thing. Right. Or you can feel like it's not working. And that's just the it's the process is different for everyone. So like the only scenario in which I would say like it would be beneficial to like be doing testing and stuff like that is if you're already diagnosed with a disease where you're reliant on drugs already or some kind of like machinery, right? Like to keep you alive. Then, you know, you've gone to that extreme already that you may need extreme levels of interruption, if that makes sense, because mm-hmm. you're already at that extreme. But the problem with our society is because people don't understand how their body works. Number one, we got taught animal and plant biology instead of human physiology in high school, right? Like, it's insane. We don't understand how our body works and how it's a bunch of systems that, and those systems work as one system and they're all interconnected. We don't really understand that. We don't understand root cause. We think that when we have a symptom that it, we need to match it with a vitamin or a drug or a herb. Yeah. And you know, it's not that like all those things can be appropriate, but when are they appropriate? Right? Like, I think about it as like, do the least that you need to do using what nature provides first before you go to all these, like if you're not resting, if you're not eating properly, then like you can throw a supplement at something, but it's like, if you eat poor quality food, you don't have the foundation for supplements to even really work, right? Because it's one pill that you're literally taking as a tiny little 500 or 1000 milligram pill. And if you're expecting that, and you're giving that so much power to change your physiology, imagine how much a plate of a natural chemical called food can shift your physiology that you're eating three times a day. There's so much more power that we have to heal ourselves with that particular chemical. And food is a chemical, right? Like everything is chemicals. So yes, it does shift our physiology. And that's right. Why, you know, they even talk about things like, oh, people have like chemical imbalances in their brain. It's like, well, yeah, you have a deficiency of the building block of the neurotransmitters, right? You're not eating enough protein. You're not producing optimal neurotransmitters. So yes, you do have a chemical imbalance in your brain, but it's due to deficiency of a nutrient that nature just wanted you to have. It's not saying, oh my God, you need a drug for that. You're missing a drug. No, you're missing a nutrient. And every single nutrient, when it is not optimized, your body is going to tell you that through symptoms. And it was never telling you that so that you could tell it to shut up. Right?
Right.
It's exactly. Like, I think of it, it's kind of the same. Like if you think of your body as like an animal or a child and it calls for your attention. And what do you think is going to happen if you keep ignoring the child? Or if you go, shh, shh, they're just going to ramp up. It's going to be even worse. There's going to be more temper tantrums because now the child's neglected. Now the child's not feeling love. It's going to scream louder. That's the same thing with your body. And until your body or the child experiences learned helplessness, right? And it will typically have to do that if you're suppressing it with drugs and not actually addressing the root cause. Now, I'm not saying that in an acute situation where, you know, you require like emergency care that you should be like, oh, I'm just going to treat the symptom. You've left it too long. You have to deal with it at that level. But in the beginning, we start at like, the basics and then just build on there. Okay, let's put our nutrition foundation in place. Okay, now that we have like the right quality of foods, we have balanced meals, we've, you know, healed some of our like deficiencies, we've figured out that we need extra nutrition of certain foods, whatever. Now we've, you know, met those needs. Now we're balanced. Okay, now you put a herb or something on there, then you the body can really respond now to that medicine because it's not missing something that it needs, because you always need the nutrition no matter what, unless you're a breatharian. I don't know. I don't know too many people who are. I've heard of those guys, but
yeah, I heard of one one that I know of now, but it's a whole different level.
Right.
Of existence.
Yeah, exactly. So sometimes people go into this like, oh, I'm just going to think my way into like everything being perfect. But it's like, but you are a physical body, and that physical body does require nutrition. And it requires, if you want optimal health, it requires it in the optimal way. So it's like, exactly. You can't really argue logic like that. You can't skip the basics, the building blocks, right?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that I'm on my soapbox about busting ascension myths right now. I don't know if you and I have talked about that at all, but I gave a talk at Soulshine on that subject. Mm-hmm. And then Freeman TV interviewed me on that subject. And yeah. I just got a message from Alex Zek, who you might not know either, but in our world, he's quite a big name. And he said he wants to interview me on the ascension busting myths. And one of the side effects of chasing ascension through spirituality or through achievement, those are two, you know, you got the king hero side of that and the mystic side, is exactly this, that you become disembodied and, you know, you're having some experience that is out of this, that is so important. And the ascension path really pushes this, that the body's not important. It's just clothes you put on and then you take off. Fluff it off like a piece of garbage. And that's been, I mean, since I survived cancer, that's been the big turnaround, is to turn back to and find the love affair in my body. But, you know, it's slippery, that, you know, because things can really be seeming to go along and I can fulfill all my needs and my obligations and all of the things that I'm creating. But you, at some point, you're running on that spare tire of the adrenals and starting to create cognitive dissonance between you and your body, and that symptom that, like, I can't handle you now. And, you know, even there was one time when we were traveling and I said to my body, stop. I gave it the hard order. Stop.
Right.
We're on the highway. There ain't nowhere to stop. It's going to be a full stop. And my body went, oh yes, you're the master. Absolutely. We'll just put everything on hold now. That's it. Yeah. Right. And there was, It was like, okay, but I know that it ultimately,
it'd be the same thing as like a parent, you know, in a scenario, you could look at it the same way. Like sometimes you just have to be like, okay, right now this needs to stop because of whatever, but we do have to address this later. The real deal of what's happening here.
Yeah. And not just throw spaghetti at the wall was another really big lesson, because, you know, that's the problem with having some knowledge in natural health is that you've got a cupboard full of supplements and tinctures and serpentine and all of these kind of things. Yeah. And, you know, so the first sign of anything wrong, I'm just like, I'm just like taking stuff.
Yeah.
And, you know, so despite all the knowledge and the experience and everything, it's been so humbling to just relearn all of this and then not to stay in my own rat trap, because I don't have the experience. I don't have the years of proven seeing people like you've seen come through healing challenges. And so that's just a word to the wise about throwing spaghetti at the wall. Hello, nice to see you, Artist Seer. And so what if you are vegetarian? I know you didn't want to maybe go too deep into this, but you started talking like that there is a time for veganism is an agenda right now. They want us off animal materials or animal products because why? They're so nourishing and you can live on them is why. That if they take away.
It doesn't feel the medical machine for people to be healthy. So I could definitely see where, you know, that definitely plays into it, right? Like it's partly like if you actually treat, so-called cure something, then you don't make any money off of it. You only make money off of the treatment, right? So it does pay to have people not be super healthy because you can't make any money in that, right? Like ideally you learn how to be healthy and you don't need to go see the doctor, right? Unless you break your arm or whatever. I think there's, you know, there is a lot of moving parts when it comes to that system. And I think one of the things that I have come to is like really just looking at like the bigger picture of where is this particular practitioner or therapy or modality actually fit in? Because there's like room for everything, But like I said before, it's almost like people are just doing it backwards in the wrong way, right? They're going straight to the drugs and the surgery before they're ever doing the natural non-toxic stuff. And they're not even going even below that to the nutritional level. Right. So
it's a last resort. I remember my naturopath would say he's a garbage collector because people would only come to him after nothing worked. I was a rare exception. I went to him first. That's generally the way it goes. And so Flashback, he's saying he can't eat animals for one reason or another. So how would you guide somebody that literally just can't eat either animals or animal products to still have a healthy diet?
If you have like really good digestion and no digestive issues, you could probably get your all the nutrition you needed by eating a lot of plant foods. But unfortunately, in my experience, has been that a lot of people who are vegetarian eventually end up with all these gut issues because there's so many chemicals in the plants. They're natural chemicals that the plant produces to protect itself that will cause inflammation in the body. And then they're usually in the situation where they have the food sensitivities. Like the more of the plant foods you eat, there seems to be more of those types of problems. And that's why you see the swing. There's always a pendulum, right? It's like no animal foods. Okay. So we did that. Now we're doing no plant foods at all. We're now a carnivore. We only eat meat, right? It's this like swinging back and forth. I just wouldn't argue with nature, right? Like nature, there's nowhere in society where a person has ever just eaten totally a vegan diet in our traditional history in the world. So it's unlikely that that's meant to be the human diet. So as much as I want to say like, that's amazing, because I understand it, because I was a vegetarian for 13 years, no eggs, no meat, just cheese and yogurt and butter, and went through the two pregnancies like that. And that took a lot out of my body, and I ended up with, and I was eating a natural whole foods version of a vegetarian diet, not, you know, the unhealth vegan that sometimes people make fun of it. I wasn't that. I was a health conscious person eating whole foods. And I find that it's more likely to impact women quicker just because of having the babies. You see the deficiencies happen quicker because the body is willing to like basically sacrifice you as the mother for the baby. So then the baby will be fine. That's my alarm because I needed to leave at a very specific time, Beth. So that's what
good to know. Yeah. Oh, you have to go soon?
Yeah, soon. Yeah. So yeah, I understand, like, because I basically became a vegetarian because I was appalled at factory farming, right? And I love animals. So I was just like, well, that's easy. And actually, I was somebody who didn't like meat growing up. So it just made sense. I was like, I don't like eating meat. I love animals and I don't like factory farming. So I just won't eat it. And I just read all of those books, like way back in the day, Diet for a Small Planet, Diet for a New America. Right. And I just was very young and it made logical sense to me because it's what I wanted to believe as well. But later as I started to study nutrition and learned, one of the things that will happen when your digestive fire starts to go down and your HCl in your stomach is getting lowered is you will not produce that much hydrochloric acid. And as a result, you'll lose your taste for meat because you can't digest it anymore. And then is a sign of something underneath, not that the meat is the problem. It's that the body is not producing that HCl that's stopping any desire for meat. And that may not be like the best. That's coming out of a pathology. A pathology has happened and now your cravings have changed. Just like people when they get dysbiosis in their gut, now all they want to do is eat sugar. It's not being driven from necessarily like their mind. It's literally their body is changing how they perceive things because something's out of balance.
Exactly.
Just only time will tell, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
sometimes exactly. You have to experience something on your own to believe it, or to know whether it's true or not for you. I would just keep an open mind. Like if it's working for you now, then that's what you need. If it's not working for you, then don't ignore that. Right. After a year of being a vegetarian and having only had two cavities in my entire life. I had 9 cavities that first year. And I didn't for 1 minute believe that, you know, it was because of that diet, because I was totally convinced it was the perfect diet for humanity. You know, it only took me becoming obese because of so many carbohydrates, even though they're natural whole foods, that I was like, oh, I wonder, maybe this diet's not working for me anymore. Right. And my hormones just were bad. They got so much better when I added meat in my diet, which is, you know, opposite of what you're told. People get PMS, they go to practitioners, they're like, stop eating animal products. No, it's all the opposite. But anyways, again, it's dependent on the person, right? Like, there's all sorts of different variances here, but, and different contributing factors to every issue. But usually if what you're doing isn't working, you need to do something sort of the opposite to some degree.
Right. And we live in upside down world. So it's never that big a shock when you find out it's exactly the opposite of what they tell us.
So just being open-minded, just not getting stuck on this is the right way. And it has to be like, be willing to have, like when I was in my early 20s, when I first became a vegetarian, besides the dental stuff, there's a lot of things that did get better for me. Right. Because I was eating whole foods. It wasn't the absence of meat. It was the inclusion of the natural diet of the human species. Prior to that, I was eating more processed foods. So,
Very good. So we'll start to wrap up now. I'd love to hear, how do you help people? Sherry, I know you have a huge emphasis on education, because there's only so many people that you can hold their hand like you did me. I know that you also take private clients. You have trainings in, like, I know that when you go to your website, it does look like Sherry's solely focused on weight loss, but that they, like she's said so many times, it's really the underlying health that is her interest. And it's just so many people out there have weight issues for one reason or another. So if you want to talk about some things, so I'm going to share some links as you talk as well.
So basically, when it comes to everything, there's like, it doesn't matter what your health issue is, including being overweight, that you have underlying body system imbalances or nutrition deficiencies. So that's basically the level that I work at, is getting your getting you on a whole foods diet, getting your meals balanced so that you're getting the right nutrient ratios, and then looking to see if you have any nutrient deficiencies, and then eating foods that fill in those nutrient deficiencies that stops the cravings. You start to create balance, right? And then looking at, now beyond that nutritional foundation, do you have any body system imbalances? Do you have any organs or systems in your body that are asking you for more attention? And then we use food as medicine to give those body systems more attention. And it's not just the physical, it's mind, body, spirit. When you give your body what it needs and you stop giving it what it doesn't need, then your vital healing force can do its job fully. It's just about you providing it with the right environment and the raw materials, and enable that enables it to do that, and just get out of the way of it doing that. And it's very simple. It doesn't matter that, you know, whether you want to lose weight or, you know, heal your hormones, or heal your gut or feed your adrenals. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you have a named disease. We all need this foundation in place to achieve optimal health. So it's, you know, the niche is weight loss. But you could literally just ignore every little thing that I say on my site about weight loss, because it still applies to your overall health.
Right on. And you have a group coaching coming up. I just am sharing the link. Do you want to say more about that?
Yeah. So I'm basically getting in, on Zoom with a group of people. I'm walking you through the exact system I would use with a private client, but you're just getting it in a group setting. So it's Saturdays, in this upcoming, October. For Saturdays, we meet for 2 hours. We might go longer. Just depends on how many questions there are, but, you get an e-course with it that helps you put that foundation in place with your, in your kitchen of whole foods. And then in those sessions, we have more trainings. We cover more on like how to eat for mood, how to eat for energy, then you also get those personalized components where you get a nutrition deficiency symptomatology test. So I can give you know which foods you need to eat as an individual, right? Because normally in a group coaching program, you can't get that much customized information, or nor on body systems. But because I've been working with this system for so long, I've just systematized it so well that I can even provide that level of individualized support in a group. So yeah, that's it. And it's for any health issue you could come in, or if you just want to be healthier, right? Like I've had people contact me. They're like, no, I don't really have anything wrong with me. I just want to be healthier. I want to, you know, create a basis for optimal health so I don't need to be sick later. Right.
Right. Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. What you want. And yeah. This is
one more thing I just want to say, because it's like a very specific way of eating that does work for weight loss, but how it works for weight loss is it brings inflammation down in your body. Okay. And every single disease and problem out there, almost every single one of them has inflammation at its root. So basically I teach everyone to eat the same way, which is to bring inflammation down in the body. And then once you're in a state of balance, then you have more leeway to eat more carbohydrates, more things that might not be, you know, perfect in terms of like, you know, people are like, oh my God, I can never drink wine again. I was like, oh, sure you can. Just, you have to like bring balance back to your body so that you're able to drink wine without it causing a harm in your body.
Exactly. Everything. Yeah.
In moderation.
Right. I'll just quickly say, I posted, I know you saw it. I posted on Facebook that, I've had an incredible amount of self-control over the last 7-8 weeks and I would like a medal. Yes. And then I got a lot of medals. I felt really good, actually. That was fantastic. Yeah. So I'm just putting a link up here that you can see Sherry Private if you feel like the group isn't the group is a very, very good value. I know that because private coaching, it's obviously more of an investment, but I'm not sure I could have handled what I did in a group. I really definitely needed your one-on-one attention like that.
Yeah. So, if you have something that is really like needing, you know, like if you have intensive food sensitivities, this is just the start for you. But most people, like random aches and pains and things that bother you that are due to inflammation will just go away without you even having to focus on them at all. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. if you have more intensive issues, then you have to do more extreme things, which are not in that program. No, that's more on an individual level.
Yeah, exactly. Well, thank you very much. I feel like we should do this on a regular basis because there's a lot of subjects that we haven't covered yet.
And yeah, so much. All the questions. I'm sorry. I just have another appointment to get to. So
not a worry. Nope. I'm glad for everybody. So thank you so much, Sherry. It's been a pleasure. Do visit her website, delishdiet.ca, and what is it? Protein Power. How do you?
Proteinpower.shop.
Proteinpower.shop. Yep. Okay. Very good. Well, I'll just stay on for a few minutes and chat with folks here. So have a beautiful rest of your day. Thank you. I love you.
I love you.
Get to see you soon. Okay. All right. Well, that was really fun. Yeah, Sherry and I are lovely friends. She's in my prayers every night. I'm thanking God for her because sometimes you just don't know how you would get through things without having just the right kind of person that, you know, I didn't mention, by the way, Sherry was one of my first business coaches ever when I was floundering with a new baby in my arms and knowing that I, you know, wasn't going back into any job and needed to really become something more than a yoga teacher for $20 a class. And she was the first person to really introduce me to the whole, you know, what happens when somebody gives you direction, even though you went to them and you asked for that direction, and then you go into resistance, like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't feel like doing that. I can't do that. I'm not qualified to do that. Who am I to do all the reasons that we go into resistance? And so, you know, I would go into a few times like that. And then Sherry would coach me through the resistance and it would usually take a while and it would take the time that, and I finally learned, you know what, Sherry's got the goods. I'm just going to do what she says, not in an obedient way, but it's like, I don't know yet. So I'm going to take the direction, even though I don't know, I can take the direction. And yes, stretching is good, Flaxmith Asmac. And glad you were here live as well. And then you know, just no more resistance. So when we were working together this way on my health, and she would say something like, okay, today only eat egg yolks. I'm like, oh, sad is that? I want a steak or something. You know, I'd be like kind of crying in the background. But it's like, nope, Sherry told me eat egg yolks. I'm going to just like suck it up. Turns out I really love raw egg yolks. I don't know if you guys have ever tried it, but the flavor is beautiful. It's such a wow. especially after you've been fasting, because all of those, your senses are so heightened and you just taste every little bit of it. And just with a little bit of salt, I love egg yolks. And now I'm eating the raw eggs quite regularly. Also love that. Sandra is here. Fantastic. Nice to see you, sweetie. I'm glad you caught this. Yeah. And then you learned so much. I know she's a gold mine of information. I just want to bleed or drive everything. Not exactly. So yeah, it's, you know, those convivial relationships, this was one of the points I was making, the house of free will as well, just to establish those relationships before you're desperate for them. Because if I was in that state and then just like, oh my gosh, who do I talk to? Where do I go? You know, and thanks, Christian. Nice to see you here. Then it would have been hard, but it was just like, okay, you know, who do I talk to? There was just a small handful. Kyle Denton was one of them. Sherry, I can't even remember if there was a third. I was very particular and very spare, because if you run out willy-nilly asking everybody advice, guess what? They're all going to, and oh, good question. Is the kitchen makeover in the group course? I'm not entirely sure, but that's a great question. I can ask Sherry or introduce you. If you private message me, Christine, I don't know if we're friends or not, but private message me on Facebook and I will introduce you on Messenger. And yeah, so what was I saying? Something about if you wait till you're in trouble and then you start troubleshooting and you find everybody says something different. Everybody says something. It was like, so, oh, I feel like I got a spear in the heart when I come away from like, this person says this and this person says this and this person says this. It's all different. What do I do? Big question mark on my head. And you know, so it can be just good to have an established, because like, you know, I knew Sherry, I know her experience. Again, I had a lot of trust in her. Not to say I didn't trust the others. It was just like, I got to focus and be on a plan. And then I didn't go into resistance at all. I just like, when she gave me protocols, I just followed them. And that's why I deserve a medal. So there you go. I know you're not supposed to brag about that thing, that kind of thing, because it really just nullifies the good effects. But okay, fantastic, Christine. Yeah, I look forward to hearing from you there. And I would just have to look. The quality of education that Sherry provides is very high. I know that she puts a lot of time and energy into her education, into her coaching packages. She stuffs them full of value that you can use over and over. I'm still very much benefiting. I took a course in fermentation with her. Oh my gosh. It was 15 years ago already. And to this day, I still have a fridge full of fermented foods. My health, I saw in 6 months, you know, went from here after I had my son, right? She's talking about like how depleted your body gets after you birth and nurse a baby. And so my health went from here, and it was like, whoosh, like this in 6 months. I noticed a massive difference just in learning how to culture foods and, you know, what foods to culture and what are the healthy ones and all the ins and outs that you can learn from the internet anywhere. But the way that Sherry delivers it, I could always receive it. I could always use it. And so I still have her book and I'll flip through and it's like, okay, that's what I'm making. And, you know, yesterday I went to the farmer's market and I'm still not, you know, eating regular food yet, but I couldn't help myself from getting a whole bunch of Brussels sprouts and, you know, a few carrots. I'm not going to be on those. I don't eat many anyway. There's more of a spice for me. And what else did I find? A few other goodies, and it's all for preserving. So I ended up, you know, just like freezing that all so I can have it at a later date. All of those succulent. We got a crazy good farmer here. Jonathan's farm, if you're in Manitoba and you don't know about him, his CSA is off the charts. The quality, I was staggered at the quality ongoing. And right now into the end of September, he has the best food ever. So he gets the medal. If he was looking for a medal, I would give him one. And yeah, Grace brought you to health as a young man. That's amazing. You know, some of us were really graced and gifted with strong constitutions, and that's fantastic. It's a really good king hero quality, right? When you're sort of hard to take down, and I'm the canary in the coal mine. So if you got a dryer sheet, you know, down the block, I'm smelling it and letting you know everybody's in danger. And that's, we all just have different paths here. And here I am. Here we are. We made it. So yeah, do take a look at what Sherry has to offer. I highly recommend it with no reservation whatsoever. And I'm going to be helping to get the word out about the group coaching in particular that's starting right away. Here's that link for that. And the links are all in the show notes, whether you're on YouTube or Facebook or Rockfin or my blog. This is the blog link. If you haven't been to the blog, that's always the first place. You can see all the archives of all of my interviews. I believe we're at 270. And you didn't make this one on time. Oh, too bad. I see your message, by the way, on Messenger, Isa. So I will, Isa Esther, I will return your message there. No problem at all. I saw it. I just didn't have time in advance. And yeah, so we'll definitely be coming back with more from Sherry on the horizon. Also, Dylan Zaccaccio is going to be on this coming Thursday, the 15th, I believe, at 2:30 in the afternoon. And we're going to be talking about language. I've heard him talk many times on Vibrant. Shout out to Interverse and Chance Garten, who's doing the Vibrants. It's super, super interesting to hear them. You know, I don't want to make light of it, play word games. If that's probably, I don't think they would take too kindly to that. But there's obviously a basis for it. It's not just throwing around words. So he's going to come. And my specific interest is in Sanskrit, because I learned enough Sanskrit to pronounce and sing and, you know some the meaning of what I'm pronouncing and singing. And if you don't know, I have 4 albums of recorded material, starting slowly to work on a 5th one now. I got a little derailed with all of this health stuff, but still very much. I got a new guitar coming. Yay! So excited. I'm really excited. I'm going to start singing again on podcasts when that new guitar comes. Huge shout out to Jason and Rose over at Crow 777. They had to receive the guitar because it can't ship to Canada as a special edition on my son's advice. Tim Henson, special edition, Ibanez, fancy. It is a nylon string electric, pretty rare, but with a hole in the body so that the sound comes through if it's acoustic too. So it's like my dream guitar with really beautiful inlay and everything. I've never treated myself to a really nice guitar. And so I'm happy, pretty excited. And you're sensitive to smells. I know, like, especially fasting. Holy crap. Oh, it's insane. You walk by anything, you know, like a restaurant or anything. And it was so intense at times when I was water fasting that it would leave a signature imprint on my consciousness for 24 hours or more. I could smell that wood-fired pizza or that whatever it was. It would like impress me. It would like literally get a place in my brain for 24 hours. I could still just like taste and smell through that. And like last night I was doing the Brussels sprouts and my whole place just reeked. Oh, and then I got the leeks. I was, cause I can't eat, you know, a whole leek yet. So I'm dehydrating all of them. And my place, I was crying over these leaks. Everything is just saturating my system because it's so ready for anything that, or, you know, ready to sense anything that comes its way. So yeah, that's the excitement in my world, I tell you. And so I think that's it by now. So do stay tuned for Thursday. I'm going to be putting that out very, very shortly. I think it actually got published already on Facebook and YouTube. And then some pretty exciting things. Did I tell you I'm going to Anarchapulco? I think I did say that last time in February. So I really want you guys all to make a plan to come to Anarchapulco. February, I believe 10 to 17 is the dates in Mexico. And just be so amazing to see all of you guys. I already know a few people coming. So it's a good thing to put on the horizon. And some unscheduled interviews also with Daniel David Iam. I wanted him to come and talk about some stuff again. And Michelle from Michelle's Healing Home and Kyle Denton are going to be coming, doing a very special live stream. It really should be a workshop in the private, but honestly, I don't really feel too, you know, I don't know. I just want everybody to get the benefit. And it's going to be matching up remedies with the scale of emotion that I teach and work with in my Journey Code coaching certification training, which is going into its 3rd week this week. But you know what? Someone just joined up and it's not too late. If you have any inkling, if you've been hearing about this and you're thinking about it and you want to train yourself to help people get more results, maybe you already do a bunch of healing work in some level, but maybe people don't follow your advice or they don't really you know, they can't make use of what you have. They go into resistance, right? Like, I didn't go into resistance. And that's why Sherry said, oh, this is fun. You just keep doing everything and it keeps working. And, but if you, you know, you're inevitably going to hit people, this could apply to health. This could be applied to people who work in finances, people who work in any kind of a, you know, consulting, spirituality, right? Like if you have, you know, it's, you can't really charge for preaching and bringing people to God, but you can charge for coaching, right? And sometimes that's a really good flip. I've got one person in mind that, you know, to go from missionary to entrepreneur, this is what Daniel David has done, and just take it in your own hands. And then you're not always having to beg and ask for the donation in a disempowered way. You can say like, no, actually, I have something really valuable to offer. And I'm going to do everything that I can to provide that and then be able to work in that arena and raise the money for the things that I think are valuable that I want to actually support. So that's just a little message on the side there. And give Lucy a pat. I will. I got to meet Lucy in 2019. She's amazing. Like, she's even better than she looks on her video. So I'm pretty excited to meet her as well. And yeah, I'd like a spot at that branch that Jeff is putting together. That'd be just perfect for me. Anyway, my dears, I think I'm going to go and get myself a little bit of sunshine. It's blue skies here in Manitoba. I love you guys. We'll see you back on Thursday. And have a beautiful rest of your day.